Hey, Exchange family, this is Exchanging Stories. Hey, Exchange, we're back for our Elder Wife edition of Exchanging Stories. I hope you're well. Today, we have a very special guest to me, Beth McCoy. Hey, Beth.
Hi.
So, Beth, if someone knows your name or hears your name, maybe they're new at Exchange and they don't know how to put a face with your name, how can they do that?
I'm the short, older woman that goes with tall guy.
Well, you're describing different ways than I would. Okay, so you can find Rick and Beth typically down front somewhere, sitting towards the left or center left or something like that. You serve in various places, right? So if you are trying to find Beth in a serving role, where can we find you?
My favorite is greeter. I love to greet in the middle of the floor when you walk in. I also really enjoy serving in the little ones with the babies.
Yeah.
And so I do that. I guess our main... Oh, and I love the prayer team. I'm on the prayer team.
Yeah, she's basically everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah.
But my main thing is, if it has to do with marriage, my husband and I are there. We love that ministry.
That's right. So Rick and Beth lead our marriage ministry and have done that ever since Exchange has been in existence for a long time. And so Beth goes with Rick. All of these Exchanging Story podcasts, these episodes are with our elders' wives. And so Rick has served as an elder for, probably 6 years, something
probably
like that.
So, yeah.
With a short roll-off period, and we're glad he's back now. So, also, Rick and Beth share a special place in my life. They are my in-laws, married to into that great family, and couldn't be more happy about that, which is an interesting dynamic. or I thought it was going to be serving as an elder with my father-in-law, but it's been great. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And
He's loved it too.
I've begged him to come back, you know, when he rolled off for a little bit. And so we've got that great relationship. Mm-hmm. So we're kicking off strong. Two truths and a lie. If somebody doesn't know you, maybe maybe they won't be able to tell. I bet there's going to be lots of people who can probably spot the two truths and a lie. But what do you got? What do you got for us? Don't tell us which is true. Don't tell us which is a lie. We'll come back to that at the end, and they'll have to guess throughout the episode.
Okay. Here's my two truths and a lie. I was in the Pillsbury Bake Off in 1991.
Okay. Okay. A Bake Off for what?
For cakes and pies.
Okay. Cakes and pies, Pillsbury Bake Off. All right.
And let's see. I was a high school tennis player.
Okay.
I can slalom ski.
Okay. All right. So three stories about Beth: that she was in a Bake Off, Pillsbury Bake Off, specifically in 1991. Mm-hmm. That she can slalom ski. And what was the middle one? I can't remember here.
I was a high school tennis player.
High school tennis player. Okay. So you've got to contemplate these. if you're listening with someone else, take your guess. Which one is the lie? So just a little bit about yourself. Beth, what kind of hobbies do you have? Do you have time for hobbies these days? I know three hobbies that you have.
We typically go out of town to do our hobbies.
Yeah.
We just got back from a hobby. Yeah. We love to camp. We tent camped for about 35 years, I guess. And then the last 10 years or so, we bought an RV. And so we love air conditioning.
Yeah, that's a good modern invention.
Yes, so we just got back from the mountains where we love to hike. Yep. Specifically, we love Stone Mountain because we love hiking there. In my spare time, read a lot, mm-hmm. and I love puzzles.
Yep. I would say three hobbies are my kids. Those,
oh, yes.
Those, I don't know if that falls in the
Rick
hobby
said the
or
same
obligation.
Thing. He yeah. said hobbies, grandkids, and I was like, that's not a hobby. That's yeah. a love. Yeah, I yeah. love that.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a good hobby then, right?
Yes.
So then what, you might get some hobby time in the middle of a perfect day, but what does a perfect day look like for you?
That's hard to say because I love the beach. Grew up at the beach, love it, but I love the mountains. And I think for us, in this hot summer especially, the temperature in the mountains was like 10 degrees cooler than here, no yeah. humidity. It was wonderful. So my perfect day would be to read in a hammock
okay.
between two trees and maybe take a nap.
Yeah.
Maybe go for a short hike yeah. and just sit in our camp chairs at the campsite. That's a perfect day to me. And we got to do all that last week. So
you
it was
got your
wonderful.
Fill of it a little
yes.
bit. Yeah. So if you're listening to this, probably a few weeks later, we're recording this in the middle of July, which has been hot and wet and going
yes.
up to the mountains
yes.
where you can get some good time. That's the weather was nice. And mm-hmm. that's a treat for sure. Stone Mountain, especially you guys kind of like hop around a few different places, don't you?
We do.
Yeah.
We like to camp in Virginia. We camp near our other grandchildren in Virginia so we can see them and watch their sports. And sometimes they come out and spend the night. And then we camp, sometimes in, Wilmington near the beach with, Rick has family down there. So we yep. go down there. So, yeah.
Was that something as a mom of kids, you were like, you know what, one day when the kids are gone, I want a camper and I want to go camping? Like, was that?
No.
Okay. You probably didn't even have time to think about
we
that.
We didn't,
did you?
But we yeah. tent camped when the yeah. kids were little. We
That's
started
true.
When they were 2 and 4. Yeah. Jana, our 4-year-old, and our son Parker, our 2-year-old. And we went on our first camping trip with our church, a
yeah.
whole group of us. It's funny that 3 of those kids that we used to camp with now go to exchange.
That is funny.
But we would go up to Carr Lake in August of all times and take our boats and camp for a week. And we had a ball and the kids just...
A week is a long time in
is.
August. Good gracious. Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And our pastor would go with us
yeah.
and we just had a great time. And we just kept camping.
Yeah.
We kept tent camping. Pulling our boat, tent camping
yep.
for years. In fact, you went on one of those.
I did. I went on one of those
you
in the
did.
Middle of summer. Me and Parker, your son, shared tent together.
Yep.
And then I broke the ski boat. So that's a story for another
that's
time.
That's a story for yep. another time.
Another time. But it was good times.
It was.
So so that's a hobby you guys have kind of picked up and really enjoy it. I think that's a great way to... To get those
Can
kind
I give
of
a
quiet
plug
days yeah.
for camping.
Yeah.
Rick's into statistics, and he discovered this statistics a few years back. One of the for families that are close, the number one thing that they have in common is camping.
The people
family.
In the family like to camp or the...
That they go camping
okay.
together.
Gotcha.
You know, for even overnight in a tent, just like one time a summer. But if
Got
they
it.
Camp together, they have such good memories.
So
of
a
that.
Commonality, what you're saying is a commonality between families who are close,
yes.
identify themselves as very close, is an identifying factor was that they all go camping.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. I don't doubt it because if you don't like your family, you don't want to be in a tent with them. That's for sure.
Very true.
So you said that you liked to read during these times. What, mm-hmm. what are you reading right now or what have you read lately mm-hmm. that you've really enjoyed?
Oh, goodness. Do you have a... hour.
Sure. The people listening probably don't, but I do.
No, they don't. I typically, this is crazy, but I typically read 4 books at a time.
That is crazy.
That is crazy. So I read.
I don't know that Rick is a fan of that style.
He is not. He yeah. reads 1 book at a time.
Yeah.
I read about 4 and they all have a different theme. And
yeah.
I read, like when I was camping, I read a chapter in each a day.
Yeah.
And so I typically read, well, right now, I'm finishing up the Chronicles of Narnia, which I've read before, but it's kind of my light hearted but deep reading. You know, like it.
You don't have to apply anything.
You don't.
Yeah.
And, but you see Jesus all through it.
Yeah.
So I love it. Yeah. And I reread that about every couple of years. I reread the Chronicles of Narnia. Another one I'm reading for just spiritual formation, and you've read it too. In fact, this was the very first thing that I knew about you, Brian, that I knew I loved about you. I read The Knowledge of the Holy.
That was just a ploy to get Jana.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
No, I'm kidding. I love A.W. Tozer.
I know. Yeah. I reread The Knowledge of the Holy every couple of years as well. And so right now I'm going back through that.
That's a deep read.
Deep.
But it's one of my favorite books about the Lord, because he just, though it's deep, he has about four pages of, what is it, 19 or 20 different attributes or something like that.
Yes.
And so though it's very deep, it's very consumable in the fact that you don't have to go long times. In fact, it's better to reread the chapter two or three times.
Yes,
you know,
100%, because it is, you just gather. And every time I read it, I'm at a different point in my spiritual walk and I get something new. So, yeah,
if that's one of the books I recommend to anybody who's wanting to know the Lord deeper on a better level, more about him, gaining their knowledge about the Lord. I can't think of anything better. It's old, but it's good.
I first read it, I think, when I was about maybe 28. I feel like Jana was just young, and I was in BSF, a Bible study, for the first time. It was the deepest Bible study I've ever been in, and I really had not had a desire to be in a Bible study before then. And I read it during that time, and it was life-changing for me. And so I have the same copy I had back then, because every time I read it, I mark in a different color.
Yeah, but now it's all underlined.
Oh, yes. Everything.
And you know, if everything's underlined, nothing is
underlined.
That's
true.
Yeah, yeah. But it is nice to go back and reread and all the things. So, so Chronicles of Narnia, Knowledge of the Holy. What else?
Right now, I'm reading a book for ministry. It's actually on grieving, but I've recently had several people come into my life that are grieving. And although I'm not in that stage right now, I just wanted to read. And it's called Beauty from Ashes. It's by Jennifer Reese Slarcombe, who recently just died. But she was elderly. Mm. But she wrote this book actually about her marriage breaking up. Mm. But the chapters pertain to all sorts of grief. And it was really, it's really good. I'm about halfway through it. And then the fourth book I'm reading right now is called Where Are You, God? And it is about the wilderness times in our life, which I'm not in a wilderness time right now, but I'm preparing for that just in case. Mm-hmm. I've read this book before, and it just, I felt like I needed... Wilderness times come along in our lives, and we don't know when they're going to come.
Yeah, they're unexpected.
Right.
Yeah.
And because it's been a while since I had a wilderness time, I just felt the need to reread and just prepare my heart and mind for that, for when it comes, so that I approach it with the right attitude.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that's good to do. It's also... sometimes can be scary to do because it's like, oh, Lord, why are you prompting me to do this?
Yes.
You know, I don't,
exactly.
I'd rather not go through the wilderness and, you know, none of us want to do that. But if you can go through with a backpack of supplies, that's a lot better through unprepared.
True.
So
true.
Good reads.
Yeah.
What about a favorite passage in scripture? What are you reading, or what's a favorite passage? Something that you go back to often?
Anybody that knows me, any women that know me especially, know that I love the passage from 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6, and it's a marriage passage, but it was what changed my own marriage for me. And if I meet with you as a woman, eventually that passage is going to come up. So that's one of my very favorite passages. It's just life-changing if you believe what God says.
Yeah.
My favorite scripture, though, is 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, and I love it so much. It says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you,
mm-hmm.
whom you have from God. You are not your own.
Mm-hmm.
You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body.
Mm. It's a good reminder for many, many things. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. You are not your own. That yeah. hits me. I hear it from the Lord almost daily.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you can take that as in like, oh, man. Or you read the other part and say, you were bought with a price. And what mm-hmm. is that price? And how much did he pay for it? You know, and yeah. and there's intrinsic value there. You know, there's intrinsic value we see from the garden of the image of God. And also we see it there in that you were bought with the blood of his yeah. only begotten,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And so there is some motivation there to live differently and yeah. to look at that, I'm not my
yeah.
own.
Yeah.
And it's better to not be on your own. And that, mm-hmm. that.
Oh, I've found that. It took me a long time,
yeah.
but I have found that to be so true.
Yeah.
And the rewards of following Christ are so much more than the seeming perks of doing it your own way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think if there's one thing I've learned by this age of my life is that, boy, Jesus, his way is mm-hmm. the best way, the yep. best way.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Well, how'd you come to know the Lord? What's that story like? Mm-hmm. If you can do that,
that
in
I'll try to
less than 30 minutes
yes.
or something. Yeah.
I was raised in a Christian home. My dad and my mom took me to church every Sunday. That was not a question. My dad led devotions in our home at 7:30 sharp every morning before school, and you had to be there, you know. And so I love the fact that I watched my parents grow in their faith.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, it was really just something that you did. You
yeah.
you went to church. My great-grandfather was a Methodist minister. We were Methodist, and you went to church.
Yeah.
And basically, all of my growing up, the preacher would preach from, read a scripture from one pulpit, move to the other pulpit, read a scripture, and then preach on something entirely different.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so it was...
Because one pulpit was for Old Testament.
Exactly.
One for New Testament.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I grew up just thinking that you grew up being a Christian. I mm-hmm. really did, honestly.
Like an American.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You were born in a Christian home, so you're a Christian. And I never heard anything different.
Yeah.
Never. And when I was 15, I don't know if I should even say this. You can take this out
okay.
if you want to.
Okay.
Our pastor had an affair and with someone in the church. And his daughters were my good friends.
Mm.
And it was terrible. But what was really terrible was the bishop did not move him, did not get rid of him.
Mm.
Even though many laymen in the church, my father, one of them, went to the bishop and asked.
Yeah.
So we went through a really tough time when I was 14, 15 years old. And my dad, I'm getting to why, how I became a Christian.
Sure.
So anyway, we eventually... he got arrested for something else, and that was the thing that made the bishop take him out of our church. Mm. But during that time, my dad and mom didn't want me there. And
yeah.
so they sent me to my best friend's church, which was across the parking lot. It was the Baptist church. And I started going to the Baptist church with her, and it was different. People acted like they loved being there. People worshiped. I started going to her youth group, and I heard the gospel for the first time when I was 15. And I went to Fort Caswell with them on a retreat, and I was sitting in the back, and I remember looking at all these kids worshiping, and I was like, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And they... You ever heard of Keith Green?
Oh, yeah.
He was
yeah.
there.
Oh, wow.
So I heard Keith Green. And so I was like, man, I've never heard Christian music before.
Yeah.
I mean, hymns, but
yeah,
not, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway, amazing. So I went home, thought about that long time.
Downloaded Keith Green?
Yes, my friend.
Well, you couldn't have downloaded it.
No, you know. But we played guitars and played Keith Green songs.
Yeah.
And then at Christmas, she invited me to go to Ridgecrest with them. And so I went to Ridgecrest with their youth group. Meantime, I'm still going to church with her.
Yeah.
And I got there, and I'd heard the gospel at Caswell. I'd heard the gospel in her youth group. I still was, like, mulling it all over. Like, why am I not a Christian?
Yeah.
You know? And
well, that's a hard concept to come to, that you're not. First, you
exactly.
have to first you have to realize that you're not.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so I went to Ridgecrest. The first night there, youth guy spoke. Amazing. All of a sudden it became clear to me, like, oh, you have to, you actually don't grow up being a Christian. You have, you have to make a choice.
Yeah.
You have to follow Jesus, you know. That was another thing. The word Jesus was not spoken in my church. God, lots.
Yeah.
Never really heard Jesus. Mm. And I think it's because Jesus is so personal.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you start talking about Jesus. Again, can I say something?
Yeah.
The very first time you came to our house to visit Jana, you talked about Jesus. And when you left, I told Rick, I said, there's something different about that young man. He can say Jesus, and it's not an embarrassment.
Yeah.
And that meant a lot to us.
Well, again, that was just a ploy. It was just,
no, it was
a tactic
it
to
was
win.
Not,
no,
it
I'm
was
kidding.
Not. But anyway, let me finish my story.
Yeah.
So, we got back to our room, and I started asking my friend like some questions, and she goes, hold on, let me run get my youth pastor. So she ran down the hall and got her youth pastor. I still remember his name to this day. It was Bill Yates. He came down and he sat on the side of my bed and led me to Jesus. And I was a teenager, but I never quit moving forward from that.
Yeah.
So that was just how God brought me to himself.
That's incredible. What's, you know, so since then you guys moved to Raleigh, you got married, moved to Raleigh, were at your church for how many years?
35 years.
35 years.
We got married, we started going there, stayed there 35 years under the same pastor.
Yeah.
It was amazing, but he was a great man.
Yeah. Did you ever disagree with him?
Yes.
Okay. But you stayed for 35 years. That's an incredible thing.
We disagreed with him. Sometimes we'd go home and talk about how we disagreed with him. But these were the things. That man preached from the Bible. I could read it while he was preaching.
Mm-hmm.
I never disagreed with him theologically. Some of the things that I disagreed with were not really important. At the time, they might have seemed important, but they weren't. And he loved his wife, loved his children, and he was just a great example of a godly man. And even though I might have gone somewhere else and heard a more dynamic message, we felt safe.
Yeah.
Worshiping under him.
Loved and so, cared for and known.
Very much. Yep. Very much.
He just retired not too long ago.
Yeah. He just retired.
But so you'd probably still be there had we not asked you to come and help plant exchange.
Yes.
And so you guys have been with us from the very beginning.
Yes.
And you've
it's
seen
such a joy.
Yeah, you've seen it grow from, you know, gathering in our living room
of
to
seven families.
Yeah, where it is now. What has you excited in this season at Exchange?
Oh, goodness. I think the thing that has me most excited is that I see a desire for holiness in amongst the people of Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that they're wanting to live deeper with Jesus, and women and men who just don't want to just belong to a church, but they want to know the Lord. And I feel like as they desire to live more holy lives, get rid of sins that need to be, that are keeping them from the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, perhaps they're saved, but maybe they're not experiencing the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness, I just see it in the women I meet with, in the marriages that we are working with. People desire, they're desiring that holiness in their lives.
That's something to be excited about.
Yeah, for
it's tough, you know. It's like in some regards, it's like climbing a mountain, you know, and you're strapped in. I think of that analogy, you can't, you know, the Lord's not going to let you fall from him. But trying to get that next, grip and hold, you kind of sometimes have to fight for it to go a little bit higher, you know, and it's not easy, but it's worth it
for sure.
For sure. You already talked about this a little bit, but what's a ministry passion that you have in general? What gets you excited about where you serve?
Well, I would definitely say marriage ministry is our passion. The Lord changed Rick and mine's marriage at year 10. Again, we were at Ridgecrest, and he got hold of my husband's heart and mine there. And we came home different people. We really did. Rick says there's a shell of a man left in the auditorium there. And whenever we've gone back there, we'll walk by Spillman Auditorium and he'll go, there's an old man in there. But God has given us such a desire for couples to experience the marriage that God intends for them to have. That sometimes takes years of sloughing off self and embracing your partner to want the best for them, to want to serve them. And so he's done so much in our own marriage that it just spills over, I think, to other marriages. And we love doing premarital. We love doing just helping couples with problems. It's a passion that God alone could put in your heart. We love it. We love it.
And they do great at it. I think obviously, you know, marriage isn't easy either. And I think you got two people who, love themselves a lot, whether or not they, you know,
realize
it. You know, you got two people who are sinners and broken, you know, and you know, it's a difficult thing. And so, it's something we put priority on at Exchange
we do
retreats. You guys do a great job at that, but we would also say, you know, I think the best thing that you can do, in the seasons where things aren't good is just admit it, raise your hand, ask for help.
For sure.
You know, we've all been there. All of us have had those moments where this is, you know, this is not going great. You just want to, you know, go do something by yourself because being with somebody else is too much work or whatever.
That's so true.
So ask for help. And, you know, we've got lots of people, including Rick and Beth, who would be glad to sit down. Kind of as we have moved through this, as people get to know you and your heart, with Rick serving as an elder, how does that change the way that you pray for Exchange in general?
I think that one of the things that has happened as the elder wives pray for Exchange, that kind of comes around to realizing that your husband is there in the nitty-gritty trying to help you and Ed as pastors to lead them. And so as a general thing for Exchange, I pray for unity among the people, one to another. I pray for kindness to each other. Humility, that we wouldn't insist on our own way, but we would be open to knowing that there are other ideas out there, you know, and I pray for willingness, that they would listen, that each of us would listen and consider each other's viewpoint. Pray for faith that deepens and grows, and I pray for trust, that they would trust the hearts of their leaders that love them so much. And I think as I've watched Rick with the elders, I just realize how much they care, how much you all just love the people of Exchange and want the best for them. So, Yeah.
What about how you pray for the elder team? How does having a husband who serves there help you know how to pray for the elders?
I think I've seen joy when things are going well. I've seen heavy, heavy hearts when things are not. Can tell when he comes back from an elder meeting, you know, what it was like. I pray for the elders that they would have humility and leadership. And, you know, I think the thing is that Scripture is clear that God puts our leaders in place in the church. And so to trust that, so I pray that people would just, you know, trust them. You know, I pray for the elders to have total dependence on the Lord, wisdom to lead us, an overwhelming love for the body that surpasses any differences or even differences in personalities or whatever, patient endurance when problems arise. I pray always for encouragement, that y'all would just be encouraged. From the body, you know, just be encouraged. And especially I pray for a vibrant, growing day-to-day relationship with Jesus for each of y'all.
Because we can't give what we don't have.
So true.
Well, and we benefit from those prayers for sure. That's an expansive list, I will say. And you've learned.
I have a list.
Yes, you've done. You've formed that over a long period of time. I know. All right, so we're going to bring it back to two truths and a lie as we close up. So I don't know if you had any guesses, but give us one of the truths first.
One of the truths first.
Okay.
I can still slalom ski.
Okay, she can. She can. She does that really well.
Oh, I don't know, but it's kind of a challenge. Each year when we go out on the boat. Can I get up again?
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah. All right. And second truth, what is the second truth?
I did play high school tennis.
Yes.
I did. I loved it. Yeah. It was so fun.
And now that's moved to a little bit of pickleball.
Pickleball with my grandchildren.
Yeah. Yeah. So that leaves the lie.
Yeah, the lie is I was not in a Pillsbury Bake Off. Rick came up with that one because they had these opportunities for when he worked for General Mills, and then Pillsbury came along. And
I was pretty sure that was the lie, but the year of 1991 got me.
Yeah, that fooled you, didn't it?
Yeah, it made me pause for just a second. But I knew it. Beth, thanks for coming on here and having this conversation exchange. I hope that you have gotten to hear her heart a little bit more. If you haven't gotten to know her, I would encourage you to find her and say hello. Introduce yourself and make sure she knows you, because it's well worth it. And so I hope that you're well as we continue in this series. We've got a few more to come, and we're really excited that we could spend some time with the wives who love as well and pray for as well and care for as well. And so they do love you, Exchange, and I hope that you benefit from this. We'll see you soon, and listen out for next week. Bye.